Next on the Sean Morgan Report, Dwayne Cates joins us to give his analysis on the conflict in Israel, the politics in the House, and also the rhetoric from Elon Musk. We're going to question the mainstream narrative and expose media propaganda right now.
That's a great question.
That's a good question.
Great question.
That's a great question.
Well, that's a really good question.
It's a great question.
Well, you're right.
We are joined by Dwayne Cates, prolific Substack writer. And Dwayne, you know, you've really been batting a thousand, as you call it, on your Substack with your analysis. Tell me what you've been writing about.
I've been writing several series. The couple of last ones I've written about are about basically this is, I said this 5G warfare is basically humanity versus extinctionists. Actually, that's not quite right. Let me see what was the title of my last. I'm going to get it wrong. Okay, this 5G war is basically ascension versus genocide. That's the correct statement. Okay, of my last Thunderdome. I'm writing part two right now, and Elon Musk is definitely a part of that. We're basically engaged in a 5G war against people that either want to uplift humanity or in essence, end humanity. And that's what I'm currently writing. And I'm just noticing that with what Elon Musk has been saying recently, it's actually everything we've been experiencing, like for the past quarter of a century, we're beginning to realize that these people are not interested in simply corralling humanity. They're not simply interested in controlling humanity, robbing humanity blind. They already have basically 97% of our money, its value. They've stolen it by inflation over decades. Now they're going for property and your property. And at this point, they're beginning to be exposed. And I think that absolutely amazing interview on the Joe Rogan Experience with Elon Musk, which just debuted about a day or two days ago, is really stepping up the pace of the exposure of who these people are that are, in my view, literally engaging in a soul war against humanity.
Right. And all the normies tuning in to Joe Rogan, millions and millions of people, more people tuning in there than the mainstream media. And Elon Musk is calling out George Soros as fundamentally against humanity. This is such an important thing for regular people to understand, isn't it?
It is. Irregardless of what motives George Soros and the people of his ilk, I would lump Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and some of these other actors in with him. Irregardless of what their actual intentions or motives are, the results are what we are all ending up having to live with. And Soros has been having effect, I say, for at least the last quarter of a century here in this country. Most people don't know that he invested in security technologies prior to his launching these election campaigns for what we are now calling the Soros DAs. Most people don't realize this. These people always find a way to profit at our expense. They always find a way to do this. What most people don't know is George Soros invested heavily in security technologies before he unleashed these Soros DAs. And what's going on right now? He's making a mint under the table with people having to buy security bars, cameras, various security technologies and hardware and software to protect their businesses and their homes. He's making bank off that. Most people are not aware of it. Okay, so this is a determination. I call these chaos waves. They create the chaos and then they profit off of it. Elon Musk is calling.
Right.
So Elon Musk is like a person that really wants the best for humanity. And he believes that technology can be an amazing boon or amazing in assisting in that, when it's also clear that there are other people, Soros and his ilk, that are interested in using these technologies to lock us down and basically control our lives. And when I say control, I mean basically control us into disaster.
Right. And also the fact that he wants to turn X.com into the biggest decentralized bank in the world with Bitcoin and other decentralized cryptocurrencies. This is big. I mean, people don't realize what's coming here just right around the corner. And so what Elon Musk is saying and doing, people keep pointing out to the headlines that he bought Twitter at a loss and like he's some kind of stupid person. I think he knew exactly what he was doing there, and it has been going quite well. I think, if you don't look at the profit numbers, but you look at the impact on freedom of speech and other things. So Dwayne, anything else about Elon Musk you want to touch on?
Very quickly. Also, he was saying in the interview with Joe Rogan, Joe Rogan, for some strange reason, was wearing a blonde wig. I have no idea why he was doing that. I guess I missed that part of the show or what the explanation was, if there was one. But Elon Musk is saying that what's happening, the reason he bought Twitter and he felt he had to make that investment or even take the financial hit was on behalf of humanity. And he said, this may sound melodramatic, but he means it. The AI that's being incorporated into what he could see on the horizon for Twitter, he describes it as the Berkeley or the San Francisco mindset was going. If you understand, he talks, it's like a zombie apocalypse in San Francisco right now. Most people don't understand just how absolutely bad it is. Now, if you go looking for it, you can find it online. You'll see the people posting the clips and the videos, and it is absolutely horrendous. It's not hyperbole to say that they are undergoing a form of a zombie apocalypse. And he's stating specifically that this mindset was beginning to be beamed out worldwide, globally. And he saw that it was going to have a detrimental effect on civilization. So he said, by buying Twitter and making these changes, he's literally preventing civilization from being destroyed. I don't necessarily see that as hyperbole. And he also stated about AI, if you allow the people that he's referring to, and I absolutely concur with this, people that consider themselves eugenicists, or what I call extinctionists, to build and control their version of an AI, it's like looking in a mirror. They want to end humanity. If you allow them to build that AI, that is exactly what you will achieve. He wants to pull us in a different direction. He's trying to warn us right now. And he's trying to pull us in a different direction where we rise rather than fall into darkness, rise out of darkness.
Right. You use the word actor before to describe some of these major grand strategists, whether they're positive or negative. But Elon Musk invested heavily in OpenAI, and now that investment is worth billions. And Bill Gates also threw his money into the ring there. So it seems like these oligarchs, whether they're positive oligarchs or negative oligarchs, are fighting over this control of this technology that could impact humanity so much. Dwayne, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you about the politics at play in the House. The new Speaker of the House, is he a good actor, a bad actor? We're going to ask you that as soon as we get back.
The world is about to shift. Banks are going cashless globally with the emergence of central bank digital currency, which will bring with it programmable money and the ability to turn on or off your purchasing power based on your digital social profile. It's like the equivalent of spyware in your bank account. You need to get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, PhD, 720-605-3900.
Over the last 20 years, with all your support, we've been able to not only launch the original MyPillow, but also the MyPillow mattress topper, Giza Dream bed sheets, My Slippers, and the MyPillow bath towels. But there's so much more. In fact, we have over 200 products, and I'm so confident that you'll love each and every one of them that when you go to MyPillow.com now, you'll immediately receive a free gift valued at $20 just for checking out the website. No purchase necessary. Get everything from MyPillow blankets, sleepwear, kitchen towels, mattresses, duvets, pet beds, body pillows, comforters, couch pillows, bathrobes, and so much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. And remember, just for checking out MyPillow.com, you'll immediately receive a free gift valued at $20. No purchase necessary. This is a limited time promotion, so go to MyPillow.com now.
There are some great deals over at MyPillow.com, so make sure you use that AMP888 promo code to save some money. Well, Dwayne, we were talking before the break about the new Speaker of the House. It took a while to get there, a lot of votes, a lot of political drama, and we didn't know how this would turn out. We all thought over these weeks and months that the RINOs would win because we just didn't seem like we had a good hand. But in the end, a pro-Trump Speaker of the House emerged. Trump gave his endorsement of the new Speaker of the House. And however, the first thing that he did was, sign an aid package to Israel. So what's your take on that?
Okay. Most people don't understand what Mike Johnson just did. I want to point out that his being voted in as Speaker came out of the blue. First, there was going to be Jim Jordan. That got shot down. Then it's this guy named Emmer. He got shot down. Here comes Byron Donalds, who I would have, thought would have made a great speaker. He gets shot down. And I'm like, so at this point, we're just not going to have a speaker, which is fine with me because basically, apparently, Congress's job right now is shipping the U.S. Treasury overseas to private pockets. I don't like that. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they get one vote under a guy named Mike Johnson. And if people aren't aware of this, it was 220 GOP in the House, and he got 220. After all that chaos we just saw during the previous week, he got 220 GOP votes. In other words, it was 100% unanimous. And now what we're seeing with this first thing is to do an aid package to Israel. What most people don't understand, I saw people on the X app saying, oh, God, here is this really America first? Absolutely it is. Because what Mike Johnson did, and most people don't they just see the headline and they don't dig any further. Well, that's OK. I'm here and I'll go ahead and explain what happened. Mike Johnson took the IRS funding, that was supposed to be going away that they put back in. Well, he just said, we'll use that funding to send to Israel. And then he separated the 40 billion that Joe Biden wanted to attach to this aid package. He separated it, and that's not being sent. Okay. And basically the Uniparty, the neocons and the Democrat extremists said, do not do that. Don't separate the aid packages. Well, he did. He separated them. Okay. So basically what you're hearing is an aid package has been prepared. They voted for it. It passed the House. It's now going to go to the Senate where they are going to kill it. It's not going to pass. If by some miracle it did pass, Joe Biden, who told them, and you remember his speech the other day where he sounded like a blithering, potato head. He said he's going to, and he always does this with his hands, we're going to, send to Ukraine and Israel. Okay, well, no, we're not. No, we're not. And if this aid package does arrive on his desk, he's going to veto it. So what you're witnessing right now, Matt Gaetz had a brilliant post on the X app this morning. We're going to find out whether these people in the GOP that are not America first, we're going to find out where those senators, as a matter of fact, in the Senate stand on helping out the people in Israel or helping out the IRS, which is supposed to basically be used against the American people. That is what Mike Johnson is doing right now. He's basically rope-a-doping these people using their own policies. He separated that aid package. They told him not to. So no aid. Although we did pass an aid package, it's going to die in the Senate.
I guess we will see how that plays out, but that would be an interesting game of chance for him to try to play here, because it is possible that money will go to Israel, and is that something that will be a good thing? But it looks like the support for sending aid or our hard-earned tax dollars to Ukraine has completely evaporated. I mean, we're going to really see these people on the record here in the Senate about how they feel about all this. So let's get into the conflict in Israel, how this all started, and your analysis of the commencement of this war.
Okay, on October 7th, Hamas basically launched a very, well-practiced murder raid, which is what it was, into Israel. And they've so far, the body count of the number of human beings that were murdered, in some cases, very graphically. This is like medieval throwback type stuff or even biblical horrors were unleashed upon these poor people. There's about 1,400 of them were murdered that day. And everything I've heard from the very beginning about how they were able to launch this attack into Israel without anybody noticing or anything being done. I mean, what kind of blind spot is this? Is still being addressed. But the fact of the matter is it happened. Those people are actually dead. And the people that perpetrated that, although I'm not going to take sides, Israel versus Palestine, I am absolutely humanity versus Hamas. Make no mistake, I make a distinction between Palestinian and Hamas at this point. What has happened is I've watched this since October 7th. An actual dividing line has been created by this attack. All of the people who were used to waving their Palestinian flags or Hamas flags in support, the people who hand out candies and celebrate these massacres, which have happened on a much smaller scale, obviously, but have been happening for decades, are suddenly being brought face to face. They're being confronted by a absolute lack of humanity. There are many people, for every person you see that are on these massive protests or celebrations of what happened to those poor people, for everyone you see, I'm thinking there's probably 8 or 10 that have basically gone quiet, backed up, and are trying to figure out and reassess their position. So right now, masks are starting to fall everywhere. People are surprised by other people's reaction. This attack by Hamas is absolutely needs to be confronted and excoriated in the strongest possible terms. Okay, but I don't believe in making war on the Palestinian people. We have the technology and capability to be a lot more direct and a lot more specific than what I'm saying, and that needs to be addressed as well. At this point, as an American, I'm America first. I want to say this very specifically. Israel has its own military and its own treasury. If they want moral support to hunt down the people that committed these atrocities, they have my full support. However, I don't believe we need to get involved in that conflict. This may be an attempt to start another forever war, where the forever war has been ratcheting down in the Middle East. All of a sudden, this develops, and everything I've heard about how this was even possible for this attack to be launched is incoherent. And when, right. As my brother John Kate says, when you encounter incoherency, you need to dig deeper to figure out what you're actually looking at, because I'm not one of these people that's going to get pulled in to just start waving a banner or a flag when we have our own problems in our own country. We can provide moral support,
right,
but they don't need one U.S. soldier and they don't need one U.S. dollar.
That's such a turnaround from the politics of the past, something we can credit to Donald Trump and his movement, this idea of America first. And so, there isn't as much support for these forever wars as there used to be. And when you frame this in the whole context that you said of there are extinctionists who want to destroy humanity, want to bait us into a forever war, it really makes you reevaluate the tribalism of the Israeli military versus Hamas, and who are the puppet masters behind the scenes that are doing this? Because I've found it really ironic, really weird how the Biden administration has handled this from a rhetoric standpoint, talking about Islamophobia just as much as anti-Semitism. They're playing both sides, and there are some high-level pro-Iran people in the Biden administration who are threatening to walk off. Can you comment on that?
Okay. I, one thing I want to point out, just because you just said a specific thing about anti-Semitism, is the wave of anti-Semitism, the very ugly anti-Semitism we're seeing that is now revealing itself worldwide. Kamala Harris the other day, as Vice President of the United States, came out and said, we're working hard to combat Islamophobia. That could not be a more direct message of they are going to allow attacks on people of the Jewish faith in this country. They're looking the other way at this point. They're giving basically all of the extremists, of the Islamists, a green light. I can't take that any other way. With regards to the public opinion, the media, all of it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. With regards to the White House, I've said this before. We are not suffering Barack Obama's third term. We are suffering Valerie Jarrett's third term. Valerie Jarrett was one of Obama's principal handlers, and I believe right now she is the principal handler for Biden. If you've researched her history, Roseanne Barr got absolutely, utterly canceled as a human being. I was afraid they're going to go, you know, basically pick her up and go throw her into the active volcano in Hawaii, which is Kilauea. I thought they're going to throw her in Kilauea. It was all such an outrage. And by the way, the outrage about Roseanne Barr wasn't because she was a racist. It was because she dared to utter "She Who Must Not Be Named" just by her initials, VJ Valerie Jarrett, who moved to the Cal-Aroma neighborhood in D.C., a suburb of D.C. with Barack Obama, moved in with them, and proceeded to conduct a continuation, I believe, of a shadow government that's been trying to control the destiny or the fate of the American people for a number of years, not just under Obama either. This was here long before he was sort of embedded into U.S.gov. Valerie Jarrett has an Iranian background. She did run 8 years with Obama, basically handling him, not his exclusive handler. There were some other people there. But because Obama is not the genius everybody seems to think he is. He basically unplug him from a teleprompter. He becomes a stuttering idiot. Okay. Biden is not much better. Actually, he's much worse. But as long as they're able to conduct operations behind him as their shield, they'll continue to do so. The Iranian link in the White House right now is Obama and Valerie Jarrett and several people. Like I can't remember the names right now, but we are finding out there are specific people that are in charge, in some cases highly sensitive positions involving national security, who are absolutely either cheerleaders or active operatives for the Iranian regime.
So this could be why they're talking so much about Islamophobia in the middle of this attack on Israel. To change the way that Americans think about these conflicts. And we've got the squad, right? The AOC and Tayyip and the other one. They were one of the only people, the only Congress people who voted against the aid package. So isn't that interesting that the radical left supports Hamas?
These people are creating chaos waves around the world. Soleimani, if I paid attention when Soleimani was killed on Trump's orders. And I remember that Netanyahu is now stating that Netanyahu backed out at the last minute, hoping that that would cancel the strike on Soleimani. But if people remember, in D.C., they were trying to mask the rage that they were feeling. They were apoplectic. Okay. Now they tried to hide that behind, oh, we're afraid he's going to start a war, this maniac Trump. No, they weren't. They weren't fearful. They were pissed. Okay. Because Soleimani was about to launch another chaos wave in the world, and they were going to be right there to profiteer off of it. Escalation in the forever wars in the Middle East, and also the money laundering as foreign aid to all the nations in the region. That is one example. Trump took out al-Baghdadi. He took out Soleimani. In other words, he is putting out the fires, the chaos waves these people in the global intelligence community are creating.
Right. Didn't they call Baghdadi a religious scholar? Like when he died, it was a big, it was something to mourn, the way they did the title in the DC papers. So that's odd. And so it is interesting. You're teaching people, regular people to sense behind the headlines what the emotional tone is. They'll try to say, oh, we're just afraid that we're going to get into a world war. But the reality is that they felt an allegiance to these two extremists.
They're funding them. They're backing them. These people almost certainly had intelligence community handlers. Soleimani was a intelligence community asset. Whenever they, and basically people are pointing out now, people are beginning to see past the curtain. That is one of the benefits of a Trump presidency, where he was laying out so regularly what these people are doing and how they're doing it, that people are beginning, with this information being provided even by what I call the vile mainstream media, people are now beginning to look right past the narratives and see what's actually happening. We're living in a world right now where Biden is funding both the Hamas and Israel. Okay. And you look at that and you say, where can that possibly make sense? And the answer is they're utilizing, I can't remember the exact word, but they're creating chaos to take advantage of it. And this has been going on apparently for centuries, even before we had
crisis
America,
management,
it's basically more difficult than start the fire, sell the water. But at this point, these chaos agents are being spotted. Regular Americans are beginning to realize that the enemy that we're fighting does not recognize non-combatants. To them, non-combatants, just look at what happened in Israel in early October. They do not recognize non-combatants. And this is something that we struggle with. It's kind of hard for us to wrap our heads around that. In Western civilization, we accept and we acknowledge the existence of non-combatants. They don't. And we're beginning to find out, going to go off on a tangent here, we're beginning to find out that the American people have been targeted for 5G psychological warfare operations. Even Trump has admitted that for the last 7 years, the American people have been the target of illegal psychological warfare operations being conducted on us by Americans. But the foreign opposition to our nation's existence have been doing this to us for decades. And we're beginning to realize, as the American people, I think that people like General Michael Flynn and Trump are starting to try to gentle us into the understanding that the American people have been targeted by both foreign and domestic enemies for a very long time. This is one of the reasons the mental health of the country is plummeting. Randy Weingarten and her teachers' unions are absolutely taking advantage of young children. They're absolutely taking advantage of them. And the purpose is not just to create chaos, but basically I also say that this is a war on humanity, and the way humanity renews itself is through progeny. And if you can get a child to go same sex or transition, you are in effect sterilizing them mentally or physically. And that is what they are pushing right now.
It's also very demoralizing, not to mention the fact that you're taking away all the military age men who could defend our way of life. It's very demoralizing to our culture. And it's economic warfare. It even gets kinetic when you look at the mass shootings and the different things that end up killing innocent Americans that are actually part of this warfare. That's a whole other rabbit hole we're not going to go down. But we've wrapped up the show here. Dwayne, where can people go to learn more about you and your work?
Okay, I have a Thunderdome Substack. I was recently kicked off of Twitch, sadly. So I used to have a Twitch channel, but that's gone. But you can find me on brentcates.substack.com. And you can also find me on the Rumble platform. Let me pull that up real quick. On Rumble, it is, let's see here, this is rumble.com/user/BrentDwayneCates. And boy, somebody just
Brent Dwayne Cates.
Really, yep.
I'm sure if people do a search for Brent Dwayne Cates, they're going to find your stuff. And you're doing really great work. You and your brother as well. Got to recognize both of you. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you all of you for watching AmpNews.us. We are America's Patriot-only network. You can get my breaking news updates at SeanMorganReport.com. God bless all you patriots. Good night.
reach a loyal demographic of freedom-loving Americans who vote with their dollars. Promote your Patriot business on AMP News. Contact Sean Morgan at sean@ampnews.us.